Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Recovery Talk, a podcast from the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence. I'm your host, Shannon Roberts. Each month, we will be talking with an expert in the field, discussing substance use challenges, resources to assist individuals with a substance use challenge and/or their families, and best practices for the delivery of peer recovery support services. This month, we are bringing you an episode hosted by my colleague, Steph Spitz. In it, she talks with Casey Edwards Snyder and Sarah Bovey of Providence Project Nurture about perinatal harm reduction and the vital role a doula with lived experience plays in the lives of pregnant people with substance use challenges. And without further ado, let's get talking.
Alrighty. Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie Spitz, and I'm one of the senior project managers here at the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence. And I'm very excited to introduce the two, subject matter experts and speakers and guests that we have today. And so these individuals are lovely, and I actually had the privilege of meeting one of them back a few months ago while we had a clinician cafe that we partnered with the Clinical Training Center for Sexual and Reproductive Health, really on utilizing the intersection of family planning and harm reduction and community. So today we are going to launch a little bit into this group, and they are also representatives of one of our organizational stakeholders of the month. So very great things, all exciting, very happy to see you both again. So hi, I thought it would be best if we could go ahead and start with just if you could introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about you personally before we launch into the professional side of things, talking a little bit about Project Nurture. So, Sarah, Casey, whoever is comfortable, maybe Casey, since I've, worked with you in the past, if you want to go ahead and go first.
Yeah. Hi, guys. My name's Casey Edwards Snyder. I am a person with lived experience, being that I have a 15-year-old son, and my last stint in detox was about 13 years ago. Basically, what that means for me in relationship to all of this conversation that's about to happen is that I am a person who was homeless, experiencing violence on a regular basis, extreme poverty, all the freaking things, and also strung out and pregnant. And that is kind of where my whole little origin story started, right? I got a really cool 15-year-old kid, and that's my personal blurb.
Thanks, Casey. I'm Sarah. I'm a person in long-term recovery from substances. I am a certified recovery mentor and wellness specialist who's cross-trained as a harm reduction doula for Project Nurture. I went into recovery about 2004 when I was forced to jump through hoops for DHS. I lived in Seattle at this time, and I jumped through their hoops for about 3 years. So I learned the system. And since then, after about 8 years of time in recovery, I ended up relapsing. So I got some experience with that as well. And I'm coming up on about 4 years pretty soon. And that's my blurb.
Congrats to you both. I appreciate that. And it's always nice to hear like where people are in their respective journeys. So I'm curious to see what your experience was like being in the Project Nurture program. And then I know you both work with Project Nurture in some shape or form. So I'm curious to see, what those experiences are like.
Well, so just a little professional introduction, I guess. So I am Casey Eversnyder. I'm a specialized doula and harm reduction focused mentor peer person with Project Nurture Providence here in Portland. I was hired to help develop and build that program back in 2015. So basically we're here from Project Nurture. Project Nurture is a wraparound program for pregnant people actively using drugs or in very, very early recovery. And what that kind of looks like, generally speaking, here in Portland is we have four different healthcare organizations, hospital organizations, who are trying to serve pregnant people who do drugs better. And we all do that a little bit differently. So me at Providence, I'm built into a primary care family residency clinic. I have specialized doctors that do primary care, deliver babies, peds, all of those things. Drug and alcohol counselor, all sorts of wraparound, all the supports that they could need. And that's kind of where where I live and where I serve within that hospital system. So I help people bring their babies into this world at Portland Providence, and as well as all their other medical care. I'm on call 24/7 for crisis support and medical whatever happens, so they never have to be alone. It's my understanding that Legacy is pretty similar. I'll let Sarah do her little blurb about how Legacy works.
I personally wasn't a participant of Project Nurture, but working there for me has been a dream come true. My role at Project Nurture, it allows me to heal while helping others heal. It's a way for me to synthesize my lived experience into valuable skills that's making like all my past pain worthwhile. As Casey said, there's multiple different sites of Project Nurture. Mine is through the Midwifery Clinic at Legacy Emmanuel. Our babies are mostly delivered at Randall's, but if we have clients that I'm a peer mentor for that is delivering elsewhere, I will go there. I also am on call 24/7. Project Nurture is a multidisciplinary treatment medical model that wraps mothers and supports from conception to a year post-birth. We have at our site two doulas that are cross-trained as peer mentors, a CADC, a social worker, three nurse midwives, and other axillary supports. At our site, which, like I said, is Legacy Emmanuel, we partner with LifeWorks Northwest and offer weekly outpatient groups. So basically, Project Nurture is a low barrier access point to recovery supports for pregnant and parenting mothers.
Yeah, and I think just to clarify to Stephanie, none of us were participants in Project Nurture. I mean, my child was born in 2009, right? You know what I mean? We haven't been around long enough for people, I think, to really fizzle back through. But that's definitely like a dream and a goal. I have a list of alumni just waiting for funding that I want to bring under my wing and put out into the world. But yeah, no, I mean, my experience working within Project Nurture is very much similar to what Sarah just said, right? It's incredibly healing and cathartic. So I was hired by a team of doctors who didn't know what to do, but had just started to realize that pregnant people who do drugs were just people that had a really rough lot. And that they really love their babies. And like, that's kind of, I was brought on because they knew that, right? They had realized that. They had realized that they could do better. And they hired me as a subject matter expert, right? As I love program development. I love all of the things. I love fixing it. You know, I love fixing things. And they brought me on as somebody who does not have a college degree, as somebody who had multiple felonies, had somebody who Providence would not hire directly. I was contracted to kind of build and reshape their ideas of what this program needed to look like, right? And the empowering nature of that and having doctors come to me and ask me to reframe or re-educate them on all of these topics, right? Like there's something that's done something for me as a human being with my own medical trauma and all of those pieces. Again, you know, Sarah was saying, being able to prevent people from struggling or suffering in the same ways that we had to. There's a power in that that I can't really compare to anything else.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. And I'm curious to hear from both of you, Casey and Sarah, like what is something you wish folks who work in the field of recovery or even the medical field knew about doulas or Project Nurture and the services that y'all provide?
I'll just jump in on that one really quickly.
Please.
Yeah, no. I mean, as far as the services that we provide, a peer recovery mentor is not the same as a peer recovery mentor that is perinatally trained and educated. A peer recovery mentor that does not have a solid foundation in perinatal harm reduction is not the same as us, right? Like the work that we're doing, the reason that what we're doing works is the marriage between that doula role and that peer recovery role. The only reason that that's special and unique is the education and the comfort that we get through being doula trained. through having that perinatal education, through being able to answer a question, yes, like a Foley bulb is, and explaining like all of the different pieces of all these different medical interventions or things that could happen, understanding what's going on, not getting squeamish, you know, like being able to support somebody in a way where we know what we're talking about and it's helpful to them to make their own informed choices and or what have you, right? The specialized nature of even if we weren't doulas, but the specialized nature of being a peer in such a unique and vulnerable place, or with people in such a unique and vulnerable place in their life and their medical history, has to happen. Like there, I don't know if that's making sense.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Need to have that extra education and support in order to do this work and not continue to cause harm.
Absolutely. As well as like, just as you're saying, like we're cross-trained from as a peer and a doula, and that prenatal education makes it so much more, right? But, and also, you know, there's lots of doulas out there, but not doulas that have lived experience like we do. And that's where it really matters.
No, and even doulas that do have lived experience, they're trained through a completely different model, right? So doulas in general, the trainings that's provided to doulas in general are built for upper middle class white women. So what I was taught when I went through my doula training is not relevant. Okay, yeah, some baby wearing stuff, some lactation stuff, you know, some really surface level things that I learned in my doula training are relevant. But the things that I have, the really important things that I needed to know about were not taught, because there are not challenges that people, that these people typically experience, right? Like, it's not incredibly common for people to have placental abruptions in this particular way at this time, in this place, unsupported, right? That's not common. That's not something we were taught. A lot of what we were taught was business model, how to market ourselves, all of that, right? Because the doula framework in this country, and I'm pretty sure not just this country, also the UK, but it's a business model. And so taking the little tiny bits of that, right? Being able to have the doula title, but educating ourselves or meeting up with our people and learning from others in this field, doing harm reduction work with pregnant and parenting people, is really the thing, right? So there's doulas with lived experience out there, but they have businesses.
Yeah.
They're marketing too, right? Like we ride on our lived experience and we educate ourselves and have informed ourselves on the things that matter and the things that will risk the lives of our people in order to support them in ways that, I don't know.
Yeah.
The marriage of the two roles is paramount.
Yeah, for sure. I was emphasizing on the doulas that aren't within lived experience, because like they didn't necessarily, like she said, they have businesses, like their own businesses, et cetera. They at Project Nurture, in order to become a doula, I had to get trained through a DONA approved training program, and that's how I ended up becoming a doula. I did my training later than Casey had. She's been a doula for a lot longer than I have, and but so the training that I've taken has been focused on I've taken three of them. I'm taking another one right now on advanced doula training. But it has a lot of reproductive justice, not geared towards just cis white women. I've gone through BADT, which is a Black Indigenous owned queer ran program, as well as Cornerstone and then Mother Tree. So I'm learning a lot about those things. At our program, we have at Project Nurture, we have two doulas, one who's African American, shout out to Julie. We're also do have funding right now to hire another doula that's culturally specific. So we're trying to be more harm reductive and trauma informed.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Yeah, honestly, that's beautiful. And I'd love to hear a little bit, maybe some advice that you can give to someone who's interested in becoming a peer doula and what it looks like and some expectations.
You know, I think that's a kind of a a little bit of a loaded question, right? So like, advice to someone who wants to be a doula with lived experience and really focus on harm reduction or drug use recovery, whatever you guys want to call it today, because it changes every day. But you got to find somewhere to work. So before you can, you can go get trained. You can be a peer support. You can be a licensed peer support and train. You can go get doula trained. But depending on your state and where you're at, the reimbursement rates, if there are even are reimbursement rates for your state's Medicaid or whatever for you to provide those doula services, there's not a way to make that fiscally sustainable. Not even here in Oregon where we have like decent reimbursement rates. The way that Oregon reimburses doulas that are serving a Medicaid population is they will reimburse for 2 prenatal appointments, 2 postpartum appointments, and the birth, right? So that's 5 instances that you are in contact with this family to support them through this process. That is not enough if you're trying to serve somebody who is actively trying to create a universe for herself or for their self where they can parent. And they're actively struggling with substances. So in order to make that really sustainable, you have to get buy-in from an organization. So whether that be a needle exchange or a medical clinic or a hospital or even a treatment program, an outpatient treatment program, methadone clinic, whatever, you will need buy-in because you will need to also be able to get paid for the peer support portion of it. Like as far as billing goes, right? You need to be able to bill for peer support and bill for the doula stuff, or find someone who will finance you, who will be like, yes, we want those services. We're going to pay you this much an hour, right? And so like, that's all the money stuff about it. But in reality, we're out there. Those of us doing this work are out there. I work with people across the country all the time trying to figure out how they can do this and who they can get buy-in from and all of those different pieces, you know, and, I am always, and I'll make sure that Stephanie gets my email out there or whatever so people can email me, but I'm always down to sit down, join a Google Meet and talk through whatever. I mean, I know I've got some friends up in Seattle that do this completely pro bono on their own time because it needs to happen. So like there are ways to do it if you're really called or if you just want to talk to somebody about it. This work isn't for the faint of heart, I guess is what they call it. It's not for the faint of heart. What we do is incredibly traumatic a lot of the time. And it's not my trauma, right? But I get to relive some. You know, I get to relive some of my trauma. And that hasn't been a problem for me for a handful of years now. I've been doing this for, almost 10 years, 9 years. This work is hard. This work is hard, and having the support around you, even when you're just entertaining the idea because you're called to it, I think is incredibly important. So I just want to challenge anybody who's thinking about it to shoot me an email. I would love to have a phone call or text back and forth. We need all of you. We need all of you to be out there doing this work because we will never be enough. We will never be enough.
I agree. And I would like to put my number out there too. So far, I've gotten 2 of our clients. I've been only at Project Nurture for a year, and I've gotten 2 clients signed up with doula training. I don't know if they're going to end up doing, you know, harm reduction doula training, but I've also gotten people signed up with being peer mentors. It's just give back. It's the same, you know, same thing. That the reason why I wanted to become a doula is to support women with addiction in the most vulnerable times of their lives. And so if you want to give back, if you've gotten something from that, then you want to give back. That's like the best place to come from. So much can go wrong in that time. And there's been so much in my own experience that went wrong with my last birth that had I not had a doula for, I wouldn't even have known it could have been a possibility to make it through it. Like, same person that is doing pro bono work that Casey just spoke of in Seattle, which is like the Harm Reduction Doula Collective, that they do it for free. Shout out to Chelsea Porter. Gotta do it. I did want to back up for a second to where the question that you had about what you would want people in recovery to know about doulas. I wanted to say that doulas are non-medical professionals that, in our case, have lived experience, that provide birthing people with continuous support prenatally, during labor, and postnatally. And that the support ranges from information to community resources and referrals to advocacy within the medical industrial complex, as well as with ODHS. And that's like huge for me, is the ODHS and in the medical industrial complex, because there's so much harm that could happen during that time. And yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling that out. I realized that I didn't even describe what a doula is. something that I'd like to say is, when I describe what a doula is to my participants, is I typically, I'll either go and I'll explain how things used to be, right? When, like, you were having a baby, someone called this lady down the road who's had like 6 kids and she came and helped or whatever. And like that community aspect of it. And we do not, I'm not saying to go to somebody's house and help them have a baby, but like that familial, kind of people helping people, do that. But also like a doula is just a peer who knows a whole lot about a whole lot more that can touch you. It's something that I like share, like, because like I have all this perinatal education, I have all this medical information, and I'm not a medical professional, but I can help people get the information. I can, you know, I can be objective and provide them every side of the coin so they can make their own informed choices. And I'm allowed to hug people. And so like, I know a whole bunch of cool hippie stuff, right? So like, I get to do a whole lot of pressure point work and a bunch of different body work with people while they're in labor or while they're almost going to have their baby, or postpartum, because they still have this weird nerve twinge here, right? And so I get to do that hands-on, really intimate and vulnerable work with the people that I serve, while also being the safe person in their corner, right? Like a safe space for a lot of people. I've been told by a lot of my participants that I am a safe space for them. I don't know. Way too often, I want to say 80% of the time, I'm the only person in somebody's corner. I'm the only person that's really there to support them, that's about them, that doesn't have any baggage or expectations or whatever, you know? We're able to be the safe person in their corner, you know? Like I have people who call me their baby daddy. You know what I mean? Like I have like that's a role that we get to fill, right? That's empty so often. And if it's not empty, it probably should be, right? like a lot of these people, these supports that they have are dangerous, you know, dangerous to their goals and their recovery and their hopes and dreams. And, everyone's struggling in their own right, right? Like those partners are struggling in their own right and what have you, but we get to be a safe, stable, objective source of comfort and safety for these families. And that's not something I could do as a peer when I was just a peer. You know what I mean? And I don't want to say just a peer because that sounds gross, but when I was doing peer work, I had the crisis phone twice a week for 24 hours. You know what I mean? Like I worked 9 to 5. We would go to meetings or we would go to movies or I would help people grocery shop and meal plan and just those incredibly valuable life skills, right? Working with, you know, like my history, I've never worked with just people struggling with substance use. I've always worked with people with like pretty intense mental health stuff and substance use. Or like pretty intense mental health stuff, substance use, and like maybe being sex trafficked right now. You know what I mean? So like the work that I did before this was also pretty intense. And this is more intense. And this is more, this take more. I give more to this because it deserves more. I don't know. That all feels really gross. I don't want to say deserves more. You guys know what I'm trying to say, though. The impact that I have by giving a little bit more here changes people's worlds completely. Yeah,
absolutely, Casey. And I just want to thank you for highlighting that, like, power and connection of being a peer doula. The bonding and community care that can be provided to the patient is, or participant in this case, is just wonderful to hear. Everyone needs a community, and it's tough whenever you're that for that person. And so being able to connect them to other resources is great, and really just providing, like you said, from beginning to end care, I think is wonderful. So I'm curious to see, Sarah, if you had any other insights on either advice that you can give to someone becoming a peer doula, or I don't know, kind of, you know, your experience working in this. Or if you agree with Casey, you're welcome to say retweet and we can go on with the next, you know, question in the bank.
I know that, like, so many people don't know that they can do it, like, as just people as clients, and you know, so many people don't know that they can do it when they're there, and the power of the support shows that it's a possibility. And that's what, like, looping it back around to where I was saying that had I not had a doula, I wouldn't have thought that I could make it. And yeah, like Casey said, it changes lives.
You just totally called something out, though. Not knowing that you could do it, right? If you didn't have that doula, you wouldn't have known that you could do it. And that's not, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but so in my experience, a lot of my people that I make contact with or that I find referrals, whatever, don't think that they can parent. They don't think they will be allowed to parent. No matter what they do, they don't think that they would be allowed. So they haven't even started to entertain the idea of what life could look like differently, right? And then I pop in there, or Sarah pops in there, or Julie pops in there, or any of these other people doing this work pop in there. My kid's 15 years old. He lives at home. He's a drama every night, doing theater crew lighting and stuff for this musical every night until 7:30. You know what I mean? Like, I own a home, you know, all of this stuff. And the life that I used to live is very similar to damn near everyone's that I serve, right? And so being able to be, and this sounds so, it always feels narcissistic, but being able to be like a beacon of hope for these people. Because, like, my life was that, and now it is this. I'm not a special snowflake. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the supports. I want to make sure you have the things that you need. You know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure you have what you need, because there's no reason. There's no reason that 99% of the people that I have served can't be parents. If they want to. If they want to. Right? And that's another totally different subject. So I'm just going to go off topic for a minute, and you guys can cut it out if you want to. I have really been struggling right now with the community and the people that provide this care. So often people automatically assume that people want a parent, and that they aren't wanting to parent, or they aren't saying they want a parent because of the stigma and the societal shame and the expectations and the fear and the guilt and, right? So often the assumption is being made, and I'm not sure there's an answer. I'm not sure we shouldn't be making the assumption because of how heavy the weight and of stigma and shame and all the other nonsense that rule our world is. But finding the space to allow people not to parent, yeah, too, and to not push and to not convince them and beat down that societal stigma and shame, right? Like, maybe that is the reason that they don't want a parent. And do they have to deal with that incredibly traumatic and heavy weight of the world right now? So that's kind of something I think Project Nurture exists to allow pregnant people to have the lives that they want and have the lives that they want for their children. But I feel like it has morphed from or morphed into, I don't know, chicken or the egg, right? But has morphed into empowering pregnant people who use drugs to parent. And I think that there's some space there and some questions there and some work there that we have to do as a society, having moved so far away from the stigma and the shame being our ruling factor. It's still our ruling factor here. So, just deep thoughts. That's something that I've been thinking a lot about lately.
And I'm glad you spoke up and said that, because you're right. I think there's still a lot of stigma and perhaps not people being trained as they should, like harm reduction, especially in some clinical spaces and things, is still a newer frame of thought. And so promoting that overall health and well-being of pregnant people who use substances and, you know, have families, and how to have like resources for them and up-to-date training and things of that nature. And I know, Casey, we've talked about this before, the harm reduction toolkit that is the pregnancy and substance use through the perinatal harm reduction coalition and such. And so I just think that's a wonderful resource.
That's being updated. And so just shout out, any state who wants their own can contract with the Academy of Perinatal Harm Reduction, and they will build one with you and with your stakeholders and with the people in your community to include your state's resources, your state's laws, your state's DHS framework. And so just want to shout that out. Joelle and Erica over there are ready and willing and excited to contract with different states to build theirs. We're working on one for Oregon right now. And yeah. And the base model that's out there for the entire country to see should be getting a new update here shortly to include the new breastfeeding recommendation from the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine, where they say anyone who's not using drugs in the hospital right now this second can breastfeed. That's Cliff Notes, but people can breastfeed. There's no reason to question that anymore. But yeah, so all that stuff's going to be updated. And yeah,
that's wonderful. Okay, so since we touched base a little bit on harm reduction, we've mentioned it a few times. And for our listeners, I feel like a lot of them probably know what harm reduction is, but I'd like to frame it in terms of what are some of the harm reduction principles that Project Nurture utilizes? If so, like, what are they? If not, why do you think that is? Because it sounded like that's kind of an element of some of the training that you go through so that you can be a peer doula. So I would love to hear a little bit more about that.
I would say like decreasing stigma, increasing addiction literacy, and like Casey said, meeting others where they are, even when abstinence isn't the plan. And even when parenting after birth isn't the plan or an option, you know. What do you say, Casey? I know you got some good insight into that.
So harm reduction. So I think harm reduction within Project Nurture it's different, each different location. So, right. So like the way the legacy operates completely different, or maybe not completely, but a lot different than the way that we operate. Right. Like we all have different teams with different specialties and different, all the different things. Right. And so one of the big things about Providence is Project Nurture, right? I was hired to help build it and rewrite it and all of that other stuff, right? So another thing that they have really done, so aside from the normal stuff, right? Like we want to reduce stigma. We want to reduce shame. We want to ensure that every pregnant person or maybe pregnant person feels the same support and care and gets the same treatment as anybody else, right? We've gone kind of way on the other side of that. I feel like a lot of times our people get better care than anybody else. I know they sure as hell get more flexible and supportive care than anybody else. I tried to call my doctor for a freaking refill last week. It took, I don't know, 12 days or something. And I'm in the same health system and people can just text me and I'll have the refill and an argument with the pharmacist in an hour. You know what I mean? So like really making sure that the care that we're providing to these families meets their need and meets it when it needs to be met, accepting and acknowledging that my life's not the same. My urgency is not the same. What I need to happen right this second is not as heavy as what this mom or this parent might need right this second, right?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit too. Recently, I found that the Addiction Policy Forum is starting this anti-stigma initiative. And I'm pushing right now for us to be a pilot site. And what they're going to do is they have a survey that goes out and it takes the temperature of stigma with our clients. And then there's like three prongs to it. There's that survey that does the baseline. And then they train a person, so me, and a nurse educator, where it's going to be both of us for the first training, and on how to teach the responding to addiction curriculum that they put together. And then we go and teach it to the nurses over at Randall's, as well as I get to for 2 years then teach it to other people too. So I've got this little baby going where I'm going to start teaching about stigma to my clients so that they know what they don't have to put up with, you know what I mean? And so that they know language and they know like how to handle it and how to voice and speak up for themselves. And I'm just really excited about it. I personally have, I was a medical assistant before in a past life and a phlebotomist and an x-ray tech and a bone densiometrist. So like I fit in the medical complex really well. So I just like furthering stuff for the underdogs. And yeah, it's part of my purpose. Yeah, you know, reaching out to you has been, yeah, for exactly. Reaching out to you has been more of my self-care because like, you know, I need to decompress with other doulas that are on the same page as me. And that's got more experiences than I do and that are willing to share that. I don't really have a doula mentor where I'm at. And so I just, that's why I reach out to you, Hazen.
And I love that. I love hearing, you know, the boundaries and that like building up of community care. Cause throughout the conversation, we've definitely talked about, you know, making sure that needs are being met for participants. And so could you both share a little bit more about, you know, what do you do for self-care or community care just to make sure that your needs are met? You're dealing with life, work, love, parenthood, you know, all of it.
I'd have to say that like I'm a sponge. I'm like an empath. I suck in everything that everybody else is feeling. And it took me a long time to be able to figure out what I was feeling and what was being projected or what I was storing or what I didn't know how to process. And so knowing what I can take on and what I can't, so my bandwidth, you know, it was important. I'm so, so grateful to have a place that the people that are cultivating me for this job, the people that are, you know, that are my higher ups, you know, my people that have been here longer or, you know, that they really practice being like a trauma-informed care workplace. So like I'm constantly asked if I'm okay, I'm constantly asked if I need if this is something that I can take on, you know, we have a lot of clients right now. And so they're actually hiring another peer doula. And that's, you know, evidence of being in a place where people care about my bandwidth and if I can handle it or not. And you know, so there's that. And then there's also educating myself. Like that's something I do for self-care, you know, like being sure that I'm on the up and up for things that I might not know how to do, might not have known how to do, you know, like giving a good apology, you know, when things get like, when there's conflict at work or, you know, like just being able to have mediation if there's something going on that, that people need to take a step back and do some self-care for, you know what I mean? Take a day off or like understanding that when you don't see eye to eye with another person, that it's not either of your faults. And there's a way you can learn to process it, you know? And that's like on the work front, you know, but like other than that, like I recently just the other day, yesterday, I think, I had a little cousin that passed away. And it just made me like, today I'm like, my kid's not going to daycare. My kid is staying home with me. We're cuddling. I'm going to be grateful for the roles that we play in each other's life and just get some love, you know, because I need it right now. So it's just, we're all vulnerable. We're all like, you know, fragile, and we're not promised anything. So like, don't be so hard on yourself and on others, you know. And my family's a big part of my health, my self-care. Just being able to make sure that I'm giving them myself. And how can I give them myself? By making sure that I'm not wearing myself thin in all other areas. And being a lifelong learner helps me with that, because I don't take things too personally and I take things as a learning experience. So
absolutely.
I do want to bring up something.
I would love to ask. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So another thing that I was just thinking about is just like, when you know there's rules that aren't supporting your people, push it, push it, push it. Right now, like, our clients don't have transportation to get to 75% of the things that they need. And so like, and it's not on like the books for us to be driving and picking up peers, but it's something that needs to be done to be able to eliminate barriers. So I'm pushing and pushing for that. And that's part of self-care too. Making how you provide services to the people who are your clients easier for you and easier for them. There's that. And there's also another aspect of self-care, and something I want to throw out there is just like, I just reached a year working for Project Nurture. And I think that I just went for a ride with my, with our social worker. And in that ride, a 10-minute drive, but I just had a moment to share my history, my story with, like, just, and it's the first time that I've had the opportunity to share it with anybody that I've worked with. And it really, really helped me. She got to see me for who I was. And like, my mom passed away when I was 16 from drugs. And, you know, she got just to see me a little bit of why I'm here. And I think that that's going to help her push for me to be able to get the things that I need, you know? So that's a big part of self-care too. Yeah.
I appreciate that. And since we're wrapping up, I wanted to check in with both of you to see, you know, if there was anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we didn't get to that you would like to share now, or like a thought that circled back, and so on and so forth.
If you come into contact, if you're a community organization and you come into contact with women that are pregnant or pregnant people, then please just like, that are substance using or that have, you know, that are homeless or that need our supports, period. Just like reach out to us. And if you're somebody that wants to be a doula, reach out to us. And, or if you're just somebody that, needs somebody to listen, then reach out to us, because you're not alone. Like, me not being alone has made me succeed, and I'm willing to give that back.
Yes, thank you both so much. I really appreciate the conversation today and you know, talking through the experience of peer doulas and harm reduction and self-care, community care, how important connections are, bonding and things. And I am also a Harry Potter fan, not of J.K. Rowling, but of Harry Potter. And I wanted to look up that quote you mentioned earlier, Casey, and you're right. It goes, it's a curious thing, but perhaps those who are best suited to power are those who have never sought it. Those who, like you, have leadership thrust upon them and take up the mantle because they must, and to find to their own surprise, they wear it well. So thank you both for taking up the mantle. You both wear it well. Grateful to you and all of the work that you do. Thank you again for joining us today. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And, you know, stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you for connecting with us, listeners. Our goals in sharing stories and information is to provide hope and resources to the field of peer recovery. Please join us again next time on Recovery Talk. You can find our episodes on our website, peerrecoverynow.org. That's peerrecoverynow.org, or wherever you find your podcasts. The Peer Recovery Center of Excellence is funded by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration to enhance peer recovery support services by expanding access to training and technical assistance service across the country. The views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official policies of the Department of Health and Human Services, nor does mention of trade names, commercial practices, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. Talk with you next time.